Well, we'll call the meeting to order. Representative Reiner moves the minutes of the last night's March 26th meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye opposed. Motion prevails. Well, in anticipation, we have the bill here presented. Representative Gunter, I believe you got a copy just about the same time I did last night in your office, and then I had given one to Representative Nornes for the Republican caucus, and Representative McFarland came and asked for a copy also. So I think that you've all are aware of what's in the bill. If I can just quickly walk through it, and then we can open it up for questions. You know, we spent the first month here, starting off with the higher ed portion of the bill, listening to students, and I think on both sides of the aisle, we're all concerned about the tuition commitments that have been put on our people in this state with the increases. So I put almost $46 million in the bill for MNSCU for tuition reduction, and I'm hoping and thinking and I guess mandating in a sense that that reduction brings the cuts the MNSCU request in half as far as tuition increase from 4% and 4% to 2% and 2%. Regarding the university, it's pretty difficult to mandate for the university because of their constitutional separation. So we at one time were going to do a little mandating in the bill. Instead, we did bring in some of the people, Donna and others, to my office and talked about what we could do to help. There's a little over 24 million dollars in here for both scholarship and for other programs that are going to help buy down tuition at the University of Minnesota. In particular, we're creating a $7 million scholarship fund that's geared towards middle-income students, Minnesota middle-income students, that the university has promised us that they will try to raise a 2-to-1 match. So we're hoping to establish that program at a $21 million fund. There's also about 2.3 or so, or 2.2 million a year to help bring the cost of the university's tuition at the University of Minnesota Duluth, Crookston, and Morris more in line with the Twin Cities campus. That's what that cost is for helping them band if they take, I believe it is over 13 credits, they'll get that reduction and also get them out the door earlier too. The state grant program, which is already a fairly good program nationwide, and I think respected nationwide, adds an additional $60 million over the biennium. We're buying down the student's responsibility by 0.5% from 46 to 45.5. There's an increase of $700 a year or so for the living and miscellaneous expenses, and we're increasing the cap for the four-year institutions. And moving on, actually, I think we did a very good job in trying to meet both MNSCU and the university's original request. There's $396 million over the biennium in new money in this bill. And we fully funded the request for all the employees at the University of Minnesota for their inflationary increase, which they haven't gotten for years, and also at MNSCU. So we did very good in that area. We put in $30.5 million for MNSCU's technology request, and $6.5 million for the university. I think we fully funded the university request, if I'm not mistaken. We did give the governor a pilot program on his ACHIEVE initiatives of $1 million each year. Given the fact that Representative Nornes presentation the other night, there was a lot of concern about rural Minnesota and underserved areas, so there's language in there that concentrates on that. I don't know, Representative Mahoney isn't here yet to talk about the... Representative Mahoney's walking in the door in a timely manner. We did fund the $38 million that the governor requested for the Mayo and the University Collaborative at the biogenomics facility. We did it in a little different way. We put $10 million up front the first year of one-time money, along with $7 million in recurring money, and gave $7 million the second year of the biennium and carried it out there. So it's basically a recurring program. We gave $2.2 million to the Biobusiness Alliance of Minnesota, $2 million to Minnesota Technology for Small Business Growth Acceleration Program, $1.5 million for Bioscience Business Development and Commercialization Grants, $750,000 to operate a Bioscience Business Marketing Program for to market Minnesota's bioscience businesses. $750,000 for Representative Mahoney's request for a clean room. Reminds me of my mother, what my mother always told me, clean your room. But anyway, St. Paul Technical College, $650,000 to establish a technology and commercialization unit at the Department of Employment and Economic Development, $500,000 for the University Enterprise Laboratory, $500,000 for agricultural-based bioscience training and testing center, $450,000 for nanotechnology. I believe that was Representative Beard's bill. We looked at the request at the University of Minnesota for their healthcare worker shortage and invested $20 million over the biennium for that. Regarding the governor's proposal, Representative Haas' bill for our veterans, we put $7 million a year, $14 million in the bill. There's some language in there where we try to reach a compromise between Representative Leader's bill and Representative Haas' bill, so it provides up to $1,250 per semester or term for the returning veterans. In Article 3, we strengthened the curriculum and construction management degree. That I think that was Representative Nelson's bill, if I'm not mistaken. Members, if you look on the spreadsheet, you'll see that I think a number of the requests that came into this, including, I think I funded every Republican request that came to this committee, not fully some of them, even with take Representative Paulson's request for India Center, we gave $250,000 for that. So overall, I think it's a good bill. I could keep babbling up here and going through it. There's a lot of the programs for our youth that Representative Gunther had shifted to workforce development, where we continued some of those in the workforce development fund, and some of them we put back into the general fund. And there is $25 million in the bill for replacing the 21st Century Mineral Fund that was taken by the governor when we were in a world of hurt back in 2003. So, members, if you have any specific questions, I'm just looking at the big part of the bill, the $390-some million, if we look at on the spreadsheet, what went to the Office of Higher Education. We did the governor's Achieve grant, as I mentioned, and GI Bill, you can see on the spreadsheet there. The reciprocity, we fully funded. The state grants, we fully funded, I believe. Same level as the governor. A little different tweak in the language. The learning network, the compensation for the office. And, of course, you'll see those little programs that are in there. Representative Murphy's request for the Minnetax Library got $1.5 million each year over the so $3 million over the biennium. Moving on to Minsky itself, the recruitment and retention of underrepresented students, we gave $12 million over the biennium. The STEM request, $16 million. Infrastructure and technology, as I suggested, we gave them $30.5 million, which took care of their inflationary increase. Funded a number of other smaller programs. The tuition buy-down, as you can see, is in there at over $45 million a year. The University of Minnesota, we, again, fully funded their compensation request, their health and workforce and clinical science request, I believe is close to their funding request. The advancing education, which included, I believe, in their request money for the Ojibwe language program at UND, is fully funded. The science and engineering, environment and agricultural, and renewable energy, these are all close to their full funding for their request. Technology and related infrastructure at $3.5 million a year. Wealthy isn't here, but we did fund, oh, there he is. Everybody's walking in a timely manner. We gave, I think, is it 1.8 million?
2 million in the first year, and 1.65 million.
For a number of agricultural requests that came in from Representative Junkie's committee that Representative Wealthy carried over here. And members, with that, I guess I'll open it up to questions by the committee. I could go on and talk about the individual bills and the D portion of the bill and what we did over at the Department of Labor and Industry, but I'll just at this point open it up to questions from the committee first, if there are any questions on the bill. Members, by the way, tomorrow we have two meetings, and I hope that we can take amendments and get this bill out of here by the end of our EB meeting tomorrow night. So with that, are there any questions from the committee at all on the bill itself? Is there anybody from the audience, from MinSkew or the university that would like to come up and thank us for what we did or criticize us for what we did? I know that Commissioner Brenner is here in the audience somewhere. At least maybe he left.
Mr.
Ritter from the university is coming up. So.
Mr. Chair, on page 40, you're putting a selection of people on the MinSkew board. It's an excellent solution to a real concern that I had, and I know you were very vocal about it. The AFL-CIO presenting four qualified candidates to the governor and giving them a choice, I think it's a great solution to that, and I want to appreciate what you did with that.
Well, I thought that, you know, I didn't think that Representative Gunther, that my MinSkew board would be the reason why the governor veto this bill if he chooses to do that, but I took your suggestion and I checked back, and nobody can remember. There was one person from labor on there, maybe how long ago was that? It's well over a bunch of years ago, and there hasn't been anybody since, and I think it's a legitimate concern on my part, and I put this language in there for you to look at. Mr. Fitzenritter, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, I'm Richard Fitzenritter, the Chief Financial Officer and Treasurer at the University of Minnesota. I just want to thank the chairman and this committee and the leadership in the House, and I know this has always been a very bipartisan bill, and I speak for the President of the Board of Regents that it's really refreshing to see a higher education bill that's funded to the level it is. It's very close to what the university was requesting overall, and we're just appreciative that you were able to raise the target compared to the governor, and that you were also able to deliver money on a recurring basis in the base, which is very helpful. And in the case of the university, we appreciate some of the creative things. I know we'll have an opportunity to discuss those more as this process moves along. So with that, I just say thanks again for the hard work.
Mr. Fitzenreiter, with the $12 plus $13 million that is in there the second year, with a suggestion that you use that, or I guess more of a suggestion, I said at the press conference this morning that I used the carrot and stick approach, and if you don't take the carrot, I'm going to slap you on the side of the head with a stick. So I guess, you know, if you looked at the language in here, I'm wondering what you think of it and what you hope to do with it. And by the way, members, when Mr. Fitzenreiter is one of the folks that came to my office with some concerns about the constitutional separation between the university and the committee, and we came up with that $7 million scholarship idea, I hope that you're able to raise the $14 million. I would like to see a little more money in there. But on the other part of that money, which I believe is in the second year, both years, but with the suggestion on the tuition reduction.
That's
the yes,
that's
what I'm talking. Will you talk about that?
The suggestion on the tuition reduction, which I think is in the second year?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to just assure you I'm not going to go out and buy a football helmet. I'm not worried about getting slapped in the head. We'll look very seriously at the proposal. I mean, we've just seen that part of it for the first time today. I know we'll be talking to the president later today about that. And I want to assure the committee that what you put in your work papers, as well as what's in the bill, we take seriously and try to do the best we can to accomplish those objectives. And we'll have some more reaction after I get a chance to talk to the president.
That amount of money should buy down the tuition about a percentage point, right?
In the second year of the biennium, each percentage point on graduate, professional, undergraduate, BU is about $5 million, each percent, roughly. So buy it down a little over two in the second year.
Any questions of Mr. Fitzenreiter at all? Good luck on the 2-to-1 match, which I'm sure you're already raising money for.
Mr. Chairman, it's a very great idea, and I know our foundation is going to appreciate being able to leverage that money to raise more from the private sector.
And I don't know what you're, but in our discussion on that, I'm again suggesting that middle-income Minnesota families and students need some help too, and I know you've been successful with that lower income program, and I don't know what your idea of middle income is. I guess for me it's $32,000 a year, but that others may have a different idea on that. So
I thought it was rich.
So there are no questions for Mr. Fitzenreiter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Detmer.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, on page 2, subsection 2, Minnesota GI Bill, I guess I'd have to be honest with you, I'm a little disappointed there that we're only coming up with that amount. It's not even half of what the governor was asking for. And I know there's just so much money to go around, but we're going to have a lot of troops coming home. Now, is this on first come, first serve? We're probably going to be running out of money for these troops when they come home for this GI Bill.
Well, you know, we're Representative Detmer, and it's, yeah, you wish you could fund everything, but I'll tell you, I received letters from GIs, and I had GIs sitting in my office that came down from some of the colleges in my area, and they all said the same thing: help the students, because, you know, we're getting a GI Bill and I can make do, and I know the governor wants to help the veterans more, and that's fine, and we did that in this bill, and I think we've got more money than in the Senate side, if I'm five they did. You know, we reached a compromise on that cap, and we don't know what the use is going to be. I mean, Representative Leader's bill was based on a Wisconsin plan that there might be, you know, a little less use of that than what the governor has suggested. But, well, you know, you guys can offer amendments and figure out what to do, and I'm more than willing to listen to that. I don't know. You know, maybe we're going to have money left over. That money is available to spend it in both years of the biennium, and I guess it is on a first-come, first-served basis. But Representative Haas, did you want to comment on
thank you,
your bill?
Chair, Representative. I am going to, and I have talked to Ms. Representative Rukavina, I am going to just have an amendment that pushes it up a little bit, but I agree there's an awful lot of good things that have to be funded. And we put it on as money is available, and that is really a rather unknown. I mean, you have to kind of go with your note. I mean, you know, you can say what's going on in Wisconsin or what my guess is or your guess, but I think it's more analytical if you use your note. And that's what we did. We tried to compromise. We increased the 1,000 individual semester to 1,250. And we got that money from taking it out of the fifth year and putting it, spreading it to the first 4 years. We put the term affordable rather than entitled. And we also put at the end of it, at the end of the year, higher ed and the veterans service officer will determine what money was expended and what money might be needed, if in fact this might be too much or too little, and then adjust the caps accordingly and report back to the appropriate chairs. And that's also in the language. So we have really tried to keep everything in the air and keep it balanced. And with a little bit of an increase, which I will have an amendment tomorrow, if we can fit that in, it would be appreciated, but I'm not going to ask to put the whole amount back in.
Representative Detmer, keep in mind, too, that the feds are talking about the increasing the GI Bill on the federal level. You know, some of the money that we were able to help with the state grants was because of the Pell Grant being increased on the federal level by $22 million coming to Minnesota. So that money helps free up and help us increase and lower that student share and do the other things that we did with the state grant program. The same may occur with the GI Bill. If they increase the GI Bill on the federal level, and this, I believe your language is last money in, right?
Then yes.
So it might even not use what we have here in the bill.
One last comment. Some of the better money that has been spent and was spent last year, which I don't think I totally agreed to when it was coming in, but once it worked so well, I almost think it was my idea. And that's the veterans officer on campus, and they're really helping people, making sure all their grant applications are filled out and everything is proper. So that last money in is very efficient, and I think we're expanding that veteran service officers to more campuses and more hours. And they really do get the most for the dollar from all the federal state grants for these young individuals. And that will have a big savings at what we're expending out of ours if they efficiently do theirs. One of the things that people realize as they work, and Mr. Severson, Representative Severson, might conflict that or agree with it, one of the things with the veterans is to make sure that they're applying for their benefits, and that will happen on campus now. Thank you, Representative Taylor.
Representative Norton.
Chair Rukavina and others, as a mother of one of those young military men, I just want to be clear, and I appreciate what Representative Haas has shared. These young men and women, when they apply for the military, have the option, they have the GI Bill, and they have the option to set additional monies aside. And I think, I know we want to do good things out of the goodness of our heart for our vets, and, you know, as the mother of one of those vets, I appreciate that. But I also think we need to use our money wisely. And so while Representative Haas's comments were very much appreciated, I think we can look to make certain when we have these discussions that the young men and women are actually signing up for and taking advantage of their initial investment and their opportunities to set money aside in the GI Bill and that they match that out as well. I think there's a shared responsibility here, and I guess I would just caution us to look at all revenue input, including the young men and women themselves, to see that they are taking that responsibility as well.
Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Chair Ogrin. Part of this process, and to what you had stated previously about the federal benefits, there's a couple categories that we're dealing with here. One is for full-time military who are going in the regular side, and then there's the reservists, and the reservists are getting called up and mobilized as much as the others. The problem we're having right now is the reservists are not getting the same benefits. In other words, for active duty side, they get 14 years to use their benefits. The reservists, they have to be in an active status in order to use those benefits. So they get called up, they get shipped out, they come back for a year of college, then they get called up again and they get shipped out, and then their enlistment runs out, and then their GI benefits run out. And that's a resolution that we'll be having on the House floor in the not too distant future. It's passing through the Senate today, is to petition Congress to fund those reservists GI bills so that it carries out just like the regular, at least a portion of the regular. But it also goes to a little bit of what was previously talked about on the entitlement side for the VEPA, what's called Veterans Educational Assistance Program, and that's an optional program as well as the GI Bill that they can invest in, and that is a good point. The Campus Liaison Representative is the program that we instituted in the last biennium, and it's been a tremendous success on the campuses. And Mr. Chair, I was wondering if that is in this bill or if that's in the Ag Bill.
I think it's running in the Ag Bill.
It's in the Ag Bill.
Okay, Mr. Chair. I looked through the Ag Bill. I did not see it, but that's one of the things we're going to want to heavily lobby for, because it has really optimized this veterans program to get our veterans on campus and make sure that they are getting all of the entitlements that they're able to receive. And it also, I think, for the last dollar in which this GI Bill is written towards, make sure that all the federal dollars that are available to them are coming in as well. And I would join Representative Hawes in this issue. Part of this process in the veterans package is to attract some of those young warriors that are coming back, not just to Minnesota, but from other states, to come to Minnesota to go to school. And Wisconsin did this, and we actually had soldiers who were going to the University of Minnesota jump out of our universities and go over there to take advantage of it. So we're losing some great talent over the other state, and this kind of puts it on a more equal playing field. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Welty.
Thank you, Chairman Rukavina, and to Representative Severson, just to answer your question about the higher education services. That issue is being taken up in the Agriculture and Veterans Committee, and so we're discussing what we're going to do there. We've had discussions in the past about the current people who we've employed and put out in the state. They're located regionally, and we're wondering if those people that are out there right now can't work with all of the campuses in their region instead of putting someone at each campus. So we're discussing that, plus more coordination with the county services officers as well to deal with the higher education issue. One thing that we were discussing in particular was, should these individuals be there for the individual soldiers, or should these individuals that we hire go out and help train people who deal with financial aid and the other services that they provide to students, so that when a veteran walks in, they are able to respond. So we've been having discussions just about how we coordinate this entire effort with all the soldiers coming back on our higher education campuses so it works effectively. And so that'll be taken up tomorrow, and I encourage you to talk to me or talk to other members or come to our committee when that discussion is taking place.
Commissioner Brenner, did you have comments on the bill? Representative Mahoney, you might want to pay attention to this thing.
Yeah, I'll see Representative Mahoney, Mr. Chair. Oh, there you are. Good. You want to join me?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair,
I'm watching your back for now.
Yeah, thanks. Watch mine, too. Members, my name for the record is Scott Brenner. I'm the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. To be frank, Mr. Chair, I need a little more time to digest what's in this bill. There is some obvious fiscal consequences that the department has concern with in my quick glance of your proposal. On the prevailing wage aspect of it, I need to get through it a little deeper with you and your staff. I know we've been working with you. I thought there was some language that had been agreed to. I have to assume in good faith that is what's in this bill.
I believe that's what's in the bill. As it sits recently, I think there's some request in there by Mr. Anfang that has nothing to do with you as far as the right to sue, or, and that's the only other thing. Or
there's one error on the spreadsheet that should be $60,000 more prevailing in
the
first year.
There was
correct tomorrow.
I did promise your staff to get the program going and get it out there to the businesses that there would be a $60,000 one-time appropriation that should have been on the spreadsheet that isn't here, but we intend to keep that promise to you and your staff.
All right. The majority of, I think, the concerns we'll be discussing in the next 9 weeks with this body will be the Construction Code and Licensing Division, how it's financed, the financing mechanisms as outlined in that bill through my quick glance are not what we have set in motion.
Well,
the governor's bill as well as through the Senate version that we're working through.
Commissioner, I don't think any of Representative Mahoney's language is in here yet. Correct me if I'm mistaken. We went over his bill last night and didn't have a chance with the way staff has been working, and I really do appreciate what Ms. Novak and Mr. Berg, Mr. Gelman, and Ms. Scott did to get this bill out, and especially what the revisor's office did, too, to get it so we could all see it by 6 o'clock yesterday. But that part isn't in the bill, so
Mr. Chair,
you know what's in that bill because we heard it last night. Mr. Rakowski was here, and I heard him say they were happy with 80% of the bill, but it must be the other 20% that you're concerned about.
Maybe 80% of the verbiage, but not 20% of the concentrated levels, at least. But Representative Mahoney and I have had a discussion earlier this afternoon about that particular bill, and we're going to try to meet with interested stakeholders next week and resolve what I think is a few lingering issues. Obviously, the advisory council framework has to be discussed in greater detail. It's outside the purview of this bill, trying that bill. I recognize that. But the way the financing scheme operates with the Construction Codes and Licensing Division under this bill is not proposed. It's not formulated in the same integrated manner that we initiated, and I believe it was Representative Gunther's version of the governor's budget bill, if I recall. So we're still operating off the Senate position. The Senate position is the position the department has asked that unit to be treated from a fiscal perspective. I know, although this bill doesn't incorporate Representative Mahoney's verbiage, it also does not incorporate the department's verbiage as well. So that will be something we need to work forward with as we go forward. We have developed a general fund neutralized revenue or financial plan with respect to that unit, and the Senate, as I indicated earlier, is carrying that version. So we'll, Mr. Chair, we'd be happy to work with your staff to see if we can incorporate those changes.
Commissioner, I think you should sit down and work with not only with my staff but with Representative Mahoney, as you have been doing, and with both the contractors and the construction trades who had concerns about some of the things that were going on. And to be, not to be too flip about it, but I told you at the beginning of this session that, the Democratic Farmer Labor Party is in charge of House of Representatives now. We do have a little twist on our philosophy versus the previous House Majority's philosophy. So, there are going to be things that we are concerned about with the working people of this state that are a little different than your approach, Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to...
Was that diplomatic enough?
Mr. Chair, that was quite diplomatic, but let me also reiterate...
All right, now, Representative Mahoney.
I just wanted to confirm the Commissioner's comments that we'll be working next week, so while everyone is trying to get back to their districts, I'm going to be in my office trying to make sure that House File 1208 properly addresses the needs of the state. And I know the Commissioner and his staff and Some of the other interested parties will be there, and we'll, by the time you come back from your district, Mr. Chair, we'll have something worked out.
So you and Mr. Joachim and Mr. Rakowski and the commissioner.
We're going to have the commissioner or somebody of his department, and we're going to make this thing. We're going to address the needs of the state, Mr. Chair.
It gives a whole new meaning to Holy Thursday for me. So.
And Mr. Chair, let me also echo that I will be at that meeting, but as I think all interested parties, in a truthful manner, would speak to, we have had countless meetings with the trades from top to bottom. We've reached agreement, frankly, with 98% of that. So I'm a little, I guess, frustrated at times that some of those agreements aren't reflected in House language, but we're going to have further conversation about that next week.
Okay. Any other questions of Commissioner Brenner? Is there anyone from Minsky that wanted to comment on any parts of the bill? I don't see anybody from Minsky. Anybody from the Department of Employment and Economic Development that might have some concerns on the bill? No one is coming forward. So, let me just run through the spreadsheet quickly on and just talk about, because Representative Gunther, I did, and Representative Norris, I did hear you the other night. I think this bill does a lot of good things for the people of the state of Minnesota, and I think it really helps with the $200 million almost nicked to our higher education system a few years ago. It helps begin to ease the pain in that in those state agencies and the universities. So, but I did listen to you, and I tried to be as kind to Governor Pawlenty as I could. And I just want to start with the Office of Higher Education on the spreadsheet and say the achieved, the GI Bill, the state grants, the reciprocity, the learning network, the compensation adjustment are all governor's requests. In the Minsky system, the recruitment and retention, the strategic advancements, the infrastructure technology requests were all there with the governors. In the University of Minnesota's section, the health and workforce advancing education, I don't think you put any money in advancing education. Science and engineering, the environmental ag systems and renewable energy, and the technology and related infrastructure were his requests, along with the Mayo Genomics funding, which we did the same amount of funding in a little different way, but I think that the university and Mayo, and I see their lobbyist back there, might be as happy as with the way we did it as with the governor's proposal. And he's nodding his head that he's happy as a lark. So moving on, the Mayo Foundation requests are fully funded. At D, the University Enterprise Laboratories was the governor's, the redevelopment grant funding, the small community technical assistance, the urban initiative program, the extended employment basic, and extended employment and mental illness were all the governor's, along with the communication service for the blind section. Turning the page, the vocational rehab state match was, I think we gave a little more even. I'm not sure. That's the governor's request. And the compensation adjustments, and we did exactly what he asked at all the little agencies in the bill. So, and as I mentioned before, the individual programs and bills that you see funded on the second page also include requests that I got from all of the different Republicans, requests that came through here. Just looking at some of them, Representative Seifert's request, Representative Hamilton's request, Representative Lanning's request, Representative Broad's requests are all in there, along with, I believe, Representative Beard, and in Representative Swigum, we gave a little bit of money to plan his Pine Island proposal. And so, members, I think it's a very good bill that I hope we can have maybe not unanimous support, but certainly support from both sides of the aisle. Representative Gunther.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just anxious to see if Representative Clark will vote for your bill before she voted, like the way she voted for mine.
I think, Ms. Representative Gunther, Representative Clark has a number of initiatives in the bill, which she's always good at doing, so I think she's fairly happy with the bill as it sits. Representative Nornes, do you have any comments as far as being the higher ed chair for, you know, the previous, was it two sessions or?
Two.
Two sessions. And a little, I thought another part of another session too. Or was it just?
I served as vice chair for.
Okay.
And I'm still looking at your bill. I frankly didn't get a chance last night. And then I had constituents that came to see me today. And so I'm still looking at it. I had an email from the president of my college that said she wasn't happy with it, so I'm trying to figure out why. So that's where I'm at.
You didn't see the part where we deleted your college in the back? it's a repealer.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I thought you were moving to the range.
All right.
No, I don't know why she wouldn't be happy, because I think we...
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure that she has actually seen the bill. The email came actually almost before I had a chance to see it, so I'm questioning how she'd know that. But so I'll work that out, and I'll tell her, relax.
Was it the Senate?
Representative Coffey?
Well, that's a possibility.
Maybe it was the Senate version of the bill. Theirs was out, I think, earlier than ours, so it might have been that.
Yeah. I'll just email back that Tommy will
take care of her.
Right.
He'll put the building back.
Well, our bill is a little richer than the Senate side.
So that's a possibility.
Okay. You know, so.
Probably is.
Okay, members, I guess if there are no further questions from the members or comments from the different agencies, we're going to start with this bill tomorrow at a regular time. And we're going to work hopefully through the evening meeting to. We'll be accepting amendments immediately tomorrow. So have your amendments ready if you have any, and we'll be working through the night, because it's my intention to vote this bill out of here tomorrow evening, so we can get it through Representative Murphy's committee and on through the full finance committee and to the floor. Representative Mahoney, did you have a question?
I was just wondering if you'd done the minutes, Mr. Chairman.
Pardon me?
If you'd adopted the minutes.
Yes.
Yes. I stepped out. We did the minutes, so.
Mr. Chair, I was actually here yesterday, and I had a bill up, but I actually was here, and it puts me excused.
Oh, you but checked.
Correction.
You checked in. So we
did.
We can we just take up the, we did the minutes, but we can take the minutes back up and correct them that Representative Ruth had was in and here, because I know we had people check in. And we'll make that correction. And so, Representative Ruth, would you move to amend the minutes and make that correction that she, Representative Connie Ruth, was present? You've heard that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. And I don't know, do I need to vote on the minutes again, ma'am? So I'll just move the minutes as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. With that, members, sure. Representative Norton.
I may have missed this because I was coming in late. What's the lead time on amendments? Did you announce?
We don't have a lead time. I told you. The only rules in this committee, there are no rules, except as I make them up as we go along. Okay. So,
all right, thank you.
Consistent, though.
This is America, and you were elected by a majority of the vote, unlike your governor. But anyway, who never has been. So, with that, we're going to take your amendments as you present them. We don't have a timeline. No other further business than meeting adjourned.